Hi, this is the Notorious MFT. This episode is sponsored by Premier Family Counseling, a multidisciplinary and holistic approach to your mental health needs. I'm your host, Will Sanchez, licensed marriage and family therapist, somatic experiencing practitioner, supervisor, mentor. Welcome to the show, and thanks for pushing play. Hello, welcome back. We are on to the next episode, and today's topic is generational trauma. Generational or family trauma. So, you know, anything from emotional trauma, like, divorce or tragic accidents or losses, abandonment, you know, parent incarceration, substance abuse, death, suicide, anything absolutely disruptive in a family system. One tends to know this particular generational trauma or family trauma as a significant event for themselves personally that actually creates a significant imprint in my opinion, in their whole being. So, you know, you get to a point where that tremendous or significant trauma or tragedy or event for you, it starts to dictate, or it starts to really form this perception or this conviction you might have of life. And it could create some things like I had mentioned in the previous episode. It could create some kind of like habitual family or relationship norm. In the previous episode, it was a family of origin. So you can actually add this to the family of origin category if, in fact, an originating family development was a significant trauma. A lot of what people do to cope with trauma in family systems, or in particular family subsets here, that could also beget particular behaviors that may or may not be the most healthy. And something that we look at, or I would look at, when it comes into when generational trauma or family trauma is something to be processed, I always ask about like the family relationships. I always ask about, you know, grandparents, great grandparents, aunts, uncles. I ask about the quote unquote family tree. I think it's super important to look at, you know, historical evidence that could contribute to somebody's personality or behavior. If we have the situation, and I've seen this before, and it's really sad. It's sad to experience. It's sad to hear. And it's really unfortunate. But if I'm working with someone with some kind of physical trauma or some kind of sexual emotional trauma, the likelihood of the family system having that involved in it is pretty high. And the likelihood of the particular parent or caregiver, of the particular person I'm working with, they may have a hand, or they may have some experience with a similar, if not exact, trauma. And that's part of like the generational process of it, which needs to be uncovered. And it's scary for a lot of families. It's scary for people. I mean, if something happened to me, I don't think I'd be the most outspoken about it to my kids or children or loved ones. But then again, being a bit fearful of being open about it or communicating about, you know, history, family history, generational issues. Unfortunately, we are susceptible at like repeating it, which is, you know, why my first episode came out. My first episode was about family of origin, because there are particular family system behaviors, family system experiences that can be backtracked. You can sort of follow a a bit of a paper trail, if you will, or emotional paper trail, or physical paper trail, if you will, to kind of uncover and to really expose some of the necessary sort of family entanglements related to generational trauma. A lot of it is pretty heavy. A lot of it is significant to really look at and to unpack. But, you know, it can be unpacked. It can be looked at. It definitely is something that you want to take into consideration when you're, you know, trying to, you know, get help for yourself. Or if you're a therapist, it is something that you definitely want to be curious about. You know, and if you're the person getting help, you're the person on the couch across from your counselor, therapist, or whomever, you definitely want to be open about those particular experiences. Of course, when you're ready, you know, you don't want to force it, because this isn't about, you know, re-traumatizing ourselves. This isn't about rehashing anything, but this is definitely more about becoming aware of the ripple effects. You know, and it doesn't have to be anything absolutely and incredibly intrusive. It could be something as, you know, which I see a lot too, is people having moving to multiple locations as a young person, you know, having like moving from state to state, from home to home, from country to country. You know, that could also be a particular generational trauma that impacts a family system, or that impacts the individual. In that case, the person may never really get a solid foundation of creating a community, or creating connection, or becoming attuned with the community, if in fact they're, you know, ready to move to the next, you know, placement, so to speak. So it could be really anything that each individual person, as yourself, could identify as fairly traumatic. I never want to judge trauma. Never, no matter how impactful or not. I didn't even want to say big or small, because that didn't make me feel comfortable judging it big or small. I know some people like to say, you know, big T, little T, but like, I'm not. If you're with that, that's cool. Like, I'm not. I think trauma is trauma, and I think the ripple effects are ripple effects that are impactful for the individual, and that's who it's most important to, is that individual. And that's why sometimes when we're looking at generational trauma and we're looking at family of origin, we may also be looking at something that's very, very typical in that particular system, in that particular family, or in that particular home. And it's, you know, it's our jobs to maybe find out if it's in fact atypical. And then we need to have like the courage and some of that bravery to really have that open discussion and bring it into the room, that it's actually very, it's atypical to have something like that happen. And you know, it's not just an impact to the individual. You know, I get to work with families, as I mentioned before, and this is the season of families. You know, at times I do get to have a very frank, a very open conversation with parents or caregivers who, you know, through no fault of their own, or, you know, that weren't, they themselves weren't in the best shape, being perpetrators, either like physically, emotionally, mentally, sexually. And at times, you know, working with them, this is a very, very obvious, sensitive and delicate subject to unpack. So depending on my approach with it, and depending on what you're wanting to do with it as an individual or as a family member, you know, what's necessary to that, to get past that or to move beyond that, is to really find some kind of, some kind of like reconciliation or forgiveness or some kind of peace with it. And I'm not saying confront the individual where you might put yourself back in harm's way, but I am saying to, you know, find ways, research ways, get help in ways that lets you find peace and lets you find some rest from that, like that mental back and forth on, you know, processing and struggling with that trauma. you know, we're definitely in a position nowadays where people are a little more into the therapy, which is cool. You know, it's becoming a little more normal. And this is something that I've noticed as like the landscape of therapy is like, are we becoming more attuned with therapy? Are we becoming more aware of it? Or is it just, you know, trauma and, you know, behaviors that perpetuate like unhealthy experiences or circumstances, are those becoming more prevalent? And I just think I want to give credit to just the world that maybe we're becoming a little more aware of you know, mental health and relationship health and like personal and physical and emotional health, which I think that's awesome. I'm happy to be a part of it. But as we understand family and generational trauma, we also want to be very considerate of how to approach it with the person or how to bring it up if you want to. You really want to check and see what harm might come your way, because definitely confronting a person or being back in the environment with the person who was the perpetrator or the assailant, I think that's what they're called, you know, the person who actually was doing the harm, sometimes it's not the best to re-engage in that relationship or in that situation. Sometimes it's best to find other ways to make peace with it and definitely make sure that these ripple effects aren't being too impactful in the here and now for you. You know, that's the part we get to work with. That's the part that, you know, we get to process, we get to unpack. And then we also get to see how it translates to your, you know, day to day. And that's something that we need to really take into account when working and understanding generational trauma. It isn't always the easiest to hear. It isn't always the most fun conversations to have, especially if you're working with an individual. And I work with the young adult population, and sometimes their parents are involved. And, you know, obviously I'm also a mandated reporter. So if there's some things that I need to report to the higher authorities, I will, and you should check with your care team or your therapist or your provider about that. But definitely the conversations about, you know, a particular event, traumatic experience happening to their loved one at the hands of a family member, you know, those are definitely delicate conversations to have. You know, and it's not easy on the parent side, and it's not easy on the, you know, the child or the family member side either. But it's definitely a conversation that needs to be had, because that's what actually might keep generational trauma stuck in this cycle. If it's not discussed, if it's not brought up, if it isn't addressed in a healthy way, and if it isn't addressed in a methodical way, you know, my rule of thumb for trauma is a little bit at a time over a long period of time. And, you know, people get scared. They go like, well, a long period of time, like how long? And that's different for everybody. It just depends, unfortunately. And what we get to do together is put you in charge of it. So you could actually dictate the length and the speed of which you want to process that, those particular experiences. So it's not an easy subject, but it's definitely something I wanted to bring awareness to, especially, like I said, this is the season of families. And you always want to make sure, you know, you're an individual, if you're going in to see somebody and get some help, you know, don't be shy about talking about family stuff. Don't be shy about opening the door to, you know, family relationships. And inversely, as a clinician or a practitioner, you know, don't be shy to really like expand the bubble of curiosity into how family relationships were developed and how potential traumatic experiences may have been something passed down from generation to generation. You know, we see sometimes, you know, in families, they might just avoid a particular life experience because a great grandparent or great, great, great grandparent may have had a traumatic experience or a ripple effect to that extent that just shaped the way the family behaves, shaped the way the family conducts itself, shaped the way the direction the family heads in, you know, things like that. That's something important to look at. And it can be very, very deeply, deeply rooted. And of course, not everything has to be, like I said, abusive or intrusive. But in some cases, you know, it is a significant impact and it does have ripple effects. And it is something to be very aware of. Well, that was my spiel on family generational trauma. Of course, if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, please drop me a line. You know, leave a comment, shoot me an email. And of course, thanks for pushing play.